Chops. It's that same old song. 7 o'clock at WRJN. Local news, timeless hits. And do you ever read the fortunes and fortune cookies when you have Chinese food? Maybe you should. A 60-year-old guy in North Carolina just hit the lottery for $4 million. He says he got his numbers from a fortune cookie. They always give you the lucky numbers on there. Maybe I should get some Chinese food tonight. I could use $4 million. Nell Minow's coming up in just a moment here. We're talking Academy Award noms and also the Razzie nominations straight ahead here at WRJN. It's 7:01. Let's check news.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN. We're sinking ocean.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A victory for President Trump in his bid to send undocumented immigrants back to the countries they came from. Colombia is now agreeing to accept flights turned away over the weekend after Mr. Trump threatened 25% tariffs. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
The president of Colombia himself reposted announcing the agreement with all of the language coming from the White House. So it seems like things have de-escalated successfully, and the tariffs are now on hold.
In the Middle East, tens of thousands of Palestinians are streaming back into northern Gaza as per terms of the fragile Israel-Hamas ceasefire. President Trump is suggesting most of Gaza's population be resettled in Jordan and Egypt, at least for now. Middle East expert Stephen Zunis.
The fact that he would even suggest this, which has gotten pushback not just from the countries that he expected to receive the refugees, but from many of our closest allies as well, I think is indicative that he's really not that concerned about human rights and international law.
A solemn ceremony in Germany to mark the liberation of a notorious Nazi death camp. CBS's Anna Noriskevich reports from Auschwitz.
Today, the world pauses to commemorate the 80th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, one of history's darkest symbols of human suffering. The former concentration camp and extermination camp serves as a solemn reminder of the 1.1 million lives lost during the Holocaust.
With California's devastating wildfires now under control, there's a new fear: mudslides from heavy rain. CBS News LA's Lauren Posen is in Altadena.
The rain's been on and off, but people here are prepared. A team from the California Conservation Corps came out and they put down these straw wattles to prevent any of the debris and hazardous materials from houses that unfortunately burned down from getting into the street.
Super Bowl's all set. The Eagles and Chiefs will face off for all the marbles February 9th. This Kansas City fan has no doubt it'll be a three-peat.
It's crazy. The up and down, up and down. It's like every game this year, but it doesn't matter because at the end of the year, Chiefs on top.
Eagles linebacker Zach Bond.
It feels like we're supposed to be here. With the work we put in, the guys we have, the coaching staff we have, just feels like we were supposed to do this.
Frying up eggs for breakfast. Savor every bite. Government numbers show egg prices have taken flight over the past few months thanks to inflation and a shortage triggered by bird flu. Overall, egg prices are about 37% higher than they were this time last year. S&P futures down 144. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Southeast Wisconsin saw a dangerous weekend on its frozen lakes, with several ice rescues and one fatality reported. Four people were pulled from Wind Lake after falling through the ice in two separate incidents Saturday. In Waukesha County, a 61-year-old man died after his UTV broke through the ice on Pewaukee Lake. Scuba divers found the man after being underwater for at least 40 minutes. Temperatures will be higher this week, leading officials to continue to warn about uncertainty on the ice. Winter winds are whipping today with a wind advisory in effect. It runs through early tonight with gusts of up to 50 miles an hour possible. Winds are out of the west at a sustained 20 to 25 miles an hour. A warning is out especially to people driving high-profile vehicles. The latest is coming up in the forecast. Three people, including a kid, somehow escaped injury after their Jeep veered off Highway 20 Saturday. Kansasville Fire and Rescue says the vehicle went about 150 yards off-road, hitting a signpost and a utility box before coming to a stop. An investigation continues. Mr. Baseball's birthday was over the weekend. More fans gathered at American Family Field to add on to the growing memorial near his statue. He passed away January 16th after battling small cell lung cancer. Family and close friends of Uecker gathered late last week for a private service. It's reported the family and the team are planning a public memorial sometime this summer. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Bills lose in Kansas City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Buffalo Bills lost the AFC Championship game to the Chiefs, 32-29. The Bills had the lead 10-7 in the second quarter, despite losing defensive back Christian Benford after he was carted off the field with another concussion. Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
You know, losing CB hurt us early there. We had a chance to convert a fourth down there, fourth and short, and then another fourth down late in the game there. It looked like we had a chance to catch it. Didn't work out that way.
The Chiefs are headed to their third consecutive Super Bowl. Head coach Andy Reid.
I'm proud of our guys battling. I mean, Pat Mahomes was phenomenal. You know, Travis Kelce, their leadership, Chris Jones, they didn't waver at all, and they know when to have fun, but they also know when to bear down.
The Chiefs will take on the Eagles, who beat Washington 55-23. NBA, the Bucks are in Utah tonight to play the Jazz. College basketball, the Badgers with a blowout win at home over Nebraska, 83-55. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds and breezy today, maybe an afternoon sprinkle and a high in the mid-40s. Turning partly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-20s, and mostly sunny and still a little breezy tomorrow, high in the low 40s. Staying mild and dry for the rest of the week. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Nonetheless, the father remains proud. Dressing in bizarre outfits around the house on the weekends. All fathers essentially dress in the clothing style of the last good year of their lives. Whatever a man was wearing around the time he got married, he freezes that moment in fashion history and rides it out to the end. You see fathers on the street, 05, 91, 83.
Love talking movies. Everybody knows how much I love movies, movie theaters. My entire life is movies, except when I'm working is on the radio. Then radio is my favorite. But anyway, Nell Minow is here. Nell Minow is the movie mom. You can see her in movie or hear her at moviemom.com. And you can also hear she's a contributor to RogerEbert.com. So you love movies. You're like me. Movies are your life. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I do love movies, and, you know, I figured out very young I was going to go see them all anyway, so I might as well get paid for it.
That's right. You know, and I have one superpower. People say, you know, everybody's got a superpower. Mine is I can remember every movie I've ever seen and what theater I've seen it in.
Wow.
So the other day on one of the, it's one of the Facebook pages for movie ads, somebody put an ad on there for Flaming Star with Elvis Presley and at the Paramount Theater. That was the ad. My dad took our family, my mom and dad took our family to see Flaming Star at the Paramount on Broadway and 43rd in 1961, I think it was. I remember where we sat in the balcony. I can't believe my father actually schlepped us in there to go see an Elvis Presley Western, but he did. And I remembered it. I told my brother, he said, I remember it too, like yesterday.
Wow.
But that's what movies have done. I remember, and that a lot of family memories are my dad losing his wallet in the movie theater. I remember the movie. It was The Prime of Miss Jean Brody and the Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, a double bill. He lost his wallet.
Oh, my God. Two amazing movies, but very different.
How many times do people sit through two movies today? I mean, you would never think of it.
No, you wouldn't think of it. But I have been known to sit through four. My then boyfriend, now husband, and I saw that there was a quadruple feature of Beatles movies at a movie theater when we were young. And we called to make sure. There were just two that we wanted to see again. And they assured us that we were coming at the right time. But ultimately, we were not. And then we ended up sitting through all four Beatles movies.
It was A Hard Day's Night, Help, Let It Be, and Yellow Submarine.
That is correct.
And I sat through the Clint Eastwood. It was Spend a Day with Clint Eastwood, Fistful of Dollars for a Few Dollars More, Good, Bad, and the Ugly, and Hang 'em High. Spend a Day with Clint Eastwood. I did it. I sat through all the movies.
I also have sat through five Marx Brothers movies in two days. And it took me forever to realize that there were two different Marx Brothers movies where they stow away on a ship and separate out which one was which. But, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was, you saw the ones with Gummo and Zeppo.
Gummo was never on screen, just Zeppo. I certainly saw the ones with Zeppo. Who always played the character who was a generation younger. I think Groucho played his father at one point.
Gummo didn't make any movies, huh?
No, I met Gummo, and the first thing he said to me was, I was never in the movies, but he was their agent, so I think he did very well.
They always said I remember it, Anne, for the five Marx Brothers. Am I missing?
Yeah.
Who were they? There was Harpo, Chico, Groucho, Gummo.
And Zeppo. Just four of them.
You're right.
And then Zeppo dropped out and sort of became a full-time guy who goes to the horse track. And okay, here's a great trivia question for you. Zeppo was, like most of the Marx Brothers, other than Harpo, was a terrible, terrible husband. He and his wife Barbara got divorced, and she then married one of the biggest superstars in history. Do you remember who that was?
No, but I gotta write this down.
Frank Sinatra.
Really? Zeppo's Zeppo's wife?
Zeppo's wife, married Frank Sinatra.
By the way, his name's not really Zeppo.
They didn't know. They took all those names.
I know.
Stage names.
Yeah, who named their kids Gummo and Zeppo and Groucho? And no, they didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Let's talk about the Academy Award nominations.
Now,
they used to do five of them, but from what I understand, a lot of people didn't see these movies, so what happened was they had to get some popular titles in there to get people interested, so they expanded it to 10 so they wouldn't just get these artsy movies up there and movies nobody ever heard of. So they expanded it to 10, and we have 10 this year, and let's go through them. I've only seen two of them. I've heard of a few of them, but I've only seen two of them. Anora is the first one. What do you think of that movie?
You know, a lot of people absolutely adore that movie, and it was on the top of a lot of best of the year lists, and I did not care for it much. A lot of people, even the people who like it, say it's like three different movies, three acts, where the first one is kind of a romantic comedy, the second one is kind of almost an action picture. You know, I like the guy who made it. He writes, directs, and edits his own films, Sean Baker. He made the wonderful movie The Florida Project about children living in poverty in Florida, and I thought that was brilliant. I didn't care for his next movie, Red Rocket, about a porn star. He tends to make movies about people who do sex work, and Anora is about a girl who is a stripper, and she gets involved with the son of a Russian oligarch, and they get married, which makes his family very, very, very unhappy. And if you've got money and power, you can really hurt people. And that's what happens in Anora. I just thought it was okay. I did not love the movie.
Remind me later, Pamela Anderson. We got to talk about her.
Yes, we definitely want to talk about
Pamela
Anderson.
We'll talk about her. Yeah. The Brutalist. Now, this is a very long movie with an intermission.
It's a very long movie and a big swing for a 30-something director, Brady Corbet, and he made it on a budget that would hardly pay for the lunch on a Marvel movie. He made it for about $10 million, even though it's the first movie in 70 years to be shot on 70-millimeter film. So you do want to see this one on a biggest screen possible if you can. And it's a period film. Period films always cost a ton of money because you've got to get the old cars and the old clothes and all that. I was very impressed with it. I'm more impressed with it than like it, but Adrian Brody, who we'll be talking about in a minute, because, of course, he and his co-star both got nominations as well, plays a Holocaust survivor. He's a fictional character, but he's based on a group of architects of that era, and Brutalist refers to the style of architecture. It's not Brutalist like he's a mean guy. Brutalist architecture is very plain looking, very strong, very powerful looking. You know, it doesn't have a lot of trim on it. And so he comes to the United States after the Holocaust. He finds out for the first time that his wife has survived, and they are reunited at one point during the movie. And then he meets a wealthy patron, and it's really about the incredibly dysfunctional relationship he has as they both have different visions for this gigantic building that they're creating together.
Where do you even find a 70-millimeter camera these days?
I know. He's been on the news and talking to magazines about what he went through to get access. It's the film is the hard part, is to get access to the film, because nobody makes film anymore. Everybody shoots digitally. But that's so in a way, the backstory of the movie is kind of like the story of the movie itself, because the movie is about an artist who wants to create this massive work of art, and all the odds are against him, and that's kind of what the people who made the movie went through as well. So I'm guessing right now, I'm predicting that that movie's going to get the Oscar, but we'll see.
Coming up in just a moment, a film I really, really loved. My wife loved it, too. We'll talk about that in a moment. Nell Minow, the movie mom, is our guest. She's the she's out of the site, moviemom.com, and she's also contributed to RogerEbert.com, moviemom.com. She grades the films like A through, like you get a report card in your school. And, you know, I don't know if I'm so traumatized, but if I see like a C, uh-oh. my parents traumatized me. A C? Well, that's intolerable. What do you mean a C? Teacher didn't like me. So hold on, more with Nell Minow coming up in a moment. But first, here's Pete Schwabba.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a new hobby that requires almost absolutely no activity, consider herkel-derkeling. It's a centuries-old Scottish tradition. Herkel-derkeling translates to the art of lazing in bed. The practice encourages people to stay in their pajamas and not get up. Most of us consider this being lazy or depressed, but if you use the phrase herkel-derkel, it makes it sound more clinical. Still probably not an acceptable excuse for being late to work. Now, hotels are encouraging people to take a herkel-derkel stay. Yes, by all means, go spend a few $100 a night to stay in bed and not do anything. Money well spent. Amy Schumer says she might actually be canceled after admitting to hooking up with a fan. She talked about the experience on the Call Her Daddy podcast, saying that a professional baseball player who was a huge fan visited her for a rendezvous in her hotel room one night. She goes into more detail on the podcast. Let's just say they did more than herkel-derkel. Schumer's new comedy special, Kind of Pregnant, drops February 5th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hospice Alliance's care team includes trained volunteers who share their time and talent to help carry out our mission of providing quality and compassionate care. Our volunteers offer support from companionship and respite time to running errands and office work and so much more. Serving patients and families in Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties. Learn more about assisting in Hospice Alliance's mission. Visit hospicealliance.org.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family. Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Are your auto and home insurance rates too high? Then call the folks at Bain's AAA Insurance Agency to see if they can help save you money. Licensed in both Wisconsin and Illinois, they have been in business since 2014, serving the Racine, Mount Pleasant, Kenosha, and surrounding areas. Bain's AAA has sold thousands of customers AAA road service, auto, homeowners, condo, renters, life, and umbrella insurance, plus personalized service to fit your family's ever-evolving needs with competitive rates. Call Annette today at 262-672-4702.
Coverage is subject to all policy terms, conditions, exclusions, and limitations. Discounts and savings opportunities subject to eligibility requirements, subject to underwriting requirements. AAA Insurance is a collection of AAA-branded insurance products, services, and programs made available to qualified members. Personal Lines Insurance is underwritten by Auto Club Group Insurance Company, Auto Club Insurance Association, and AAA Life Insurance Company.
Retired or retiring soon? How much money do you need to live comfortably? Retirement Planners of America is here for you. Would you like to have financial peace of mind? Here's how. Step 1. Find out the amount of money you'll need to retire. Step 2. Have a plan to get there. Step 3. Make sure that plan can take advantage of market gains but protect you from market losses. Discover how to do all three with a free consultation at 800-508-6108. That's 800-508-6108.
All investments involve risk, including losses. Past performance does not guarantee future results.
After you've started your day with the Don Rosen Morning Show on WRJN, be sure to stay tuned for the rest of the day as the Dan Marcus Wax Museum brings fun stories and interviews with the timeless hitmakers. And Kurt Vollmann recaps events from around town and previews the arts and entertainment in Racine. After Don, it's Dan, then Kurt, as we bring you local news and timeless hits. WRJN.
And right now it's Nell Minow, the movie mom from MovieMom.com and also RogerEbert.com. We're talking about the Academy Award nominees, one of my favorite movies of the year. I love it. A Complete Unknown, the story of Bob Dylan with an amazing performance from Timothy Chalamet. I mean, he was Bob Dylan in that film.
He's terrific. And if you watch, the classic documentary, Don't Look Now, you can see how carefully he studied Bob Dylan. But for me, the person who stole the movie, and I'm happy to see that he got an Oscar nomination, was Edward Norton.
Yes.
Pete Seeger. I thought he was absolutely fantastic.
I love it when they actually shave part of their hair and change their appearance for the movie.
Yeah.
And I think he did. I don't think he's missing that much hair on his head. So, you know, he was great. And I just saw Don't Look Back. It was on Turner Classic Movies a few weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you get it.
And it's an amazing, amazing movie. Really just, you know, one of the all-time great and most influential documentaries.
I love that movie, A Complete Unknown. The next one, it was in and out of theaters so fast, Conclave.
You know, that maybe would be my choice for the Oscars, for Best Picture. I absolutely loved it. I would have been happy to see everybody in it get nominated. I know a lot of people didn't like the ending, and in fact, there's an interview with the author of the book it's based on where he talks about the ending in yesterday's New York Times, but I thought it was brilliant. That's another one where you have to see it in the theater. It is absolutely, every frame of the film is gorgeous, but they had a head start because it takes place in the Vatican where everything you look at is gorgeous, and of course you've got those bright red robes that the cardinals wear. So it's about the fact that the Pope in the first 5 minutes of the movie has died, and they've got to get together and pick a new Pope. And, you know, aside from the fact that in real life that's one of the most secretive kinds of events that occurs, and over hundreds of years this has been going on, you know, with the white smoke going up and the gray smoke going up, it is just an incredibly well-written, well-acted film with an fabulous cast, Ralph Fiennes and Stanley Tucci and John Lithgow. And as I said, a lot of people didn't like the ending, but I did. It's very controversial, but I liked it very much and was very touched by it. So I would say that was, of this list of 10, that's the one that I would vote for if I were picking the best film of the year.
Now, they made a movie about this once before. I actually have it on DVD. The Shoes of the Fisherman with Anthony
Quinn.
Shoes
of the Fisherman, right.
It was about the same thing. They have to pick a new pope.
Right, and the Two Popes is also another good one because that was about the only time in history that a pope resigned because of illness, and so they had two popes, and what were they going to do about that? That's another really good one. You know, there's just a lot of inherent drama. Always when you have, that's why you have so many movies that are set in spaceships or in submarines. When you have a closed society like that, you know, it's always immediately interesting and dramatic.
Okay, Dune Part 2. Which I didn't see any of the Dune movies, so I don't know much about them. I'm not into science fiction.
Well, your guy Timothy Chalamet is the star of that one, too.
I know. This guy's hot. He was in Wonka last year. He's all over the place, this guy.
And he hosted Saturday Night Live over the weekend as the musical guest and the host.
There you go. This guy's everywhere.
He is everywhere.
So did you see Dune Part 2? You must have.
I did. Okay. I saw both of the Dunes. I'm not like the biggest fan in the world of the Dune movies, but certainly like The Brutalist, like some of the other movies, it's a big swing. They, you know, they really go for it. And the special effects of Zendaya, absolutely terrific in it. And so I thought it's very powerful. I don't think it's a spoiler because the books have been out for a million years So I'm just going to say one of the things that does surprise some people who are new to this material is that the chosen one, the Luke Skywalker type character in this, is not always the good guy. And I think a lot of people are surprised because your expectations are different. But yeah, it is. It's a very striking, very powerful movie. That would not be on my list of the top 10 of the year, but it's very impressive.
Now, here's one of those Netflix movies that didn't play theaters. I thought there was a rule you had to play a theater for 2 weeks in New York and L.A. in order to be nominated. They used to have that rule, I remember.
They do have that rule, and so what they do is they play these theaters for a couple of weeks in New York and L.A.,
and that's it.
The rest of us have got to watch them at home.
Okay, Emilia Perez is the name of the movie we're talking about. It's a Netflix movie.
It is a wild and crazy movie made by a French guy who I think shot it in France, but it takes place in Mexico mostly, a little bit of Switzerland, and it's about a lawyer. And you'll see, we're going to talk about Zoe Saldana, who's been nominated and as Best Supporting, even though in some way she's the main character of the story, but okay. So it's about a lawyer who is asked to help sort of a godfather. Father type, the head of a huge crime syndicate who wants to have a gender change and reassignment and become really a different person, go from being a gangster who gets people killed all the time to somebody who's very kind and generous and makes up for a lot of bad behavior in the past. And it's a musical. And it's mostly in Spanish.
And you can't see it unless you subscribe to Netflix.
That is correct. But I do like Netflix, yeah.
All right, coming up, we've got more with Nell Minow, the Movie Mom, at MovieMom.com and RogerEbert.com. And coming up on our list in alphabetical order, it's coming up, my favorite movie of the year. I saw it, the Broadway musical, and I loved it. I'm glad to see it's nominated. We know what we're talking about. Nell Minow's with me. More coming up, but first, we've got Paul Harvey.
Now, the rest of the story. 65 million years ago. At the end of what prehistorians call the Cretaceous era, something happened. Something so devastating, so catastrophic, that with seeming suddenness, it drastically altered the course of life on Earth. For until then, giant lizards ruled the world. And thereafter, they were gone. All gone. Every last one of them. Paleontologists have long sought to discover why. Some have suggested that the Earth's climate got colder and froze the dinosaurs, or that night-hunting mammals proliferated and overwhelmed them, or that ultraviolet radiation fried them, or that they overgrazed their habitat and starved themselves into extinction, or even that a death star, a comet or meteorite or something, crashed into the Earth, raising a cloud of ultimately deadly dust. Well, Dr. Robert Bakker is a much-respected paleontologist affiliated with the University of Colorado Museum at Boulder, and he says conventional reasonings as to why the dinosaurs became extinct have inherent flaws, fatal to each theory. Destabilized habitat, natural climatic change. Habitats of the world are never really stable, says Dr. Bakker. Climates are always changing through time. A cosmic intruder plunging the Earth into sudden frigid darkness. Such an event would have wiped out the dinosaurs at once, or in a few dozen years at most. And yet, orthodox paleo and botany has demonstrated that extinctions were spread over tens of thousands of years or more. Why guess at what killed the dinosaurs? Well, Dr. Bakker says there is much about their environment that we do know and maybe need to know. For example, when dinosaurs roamed the Earth, shallow water from the oceans covered huge areas of what are now continents, leaving only the highest ground dry. That high ground then appeared as massive isolated islands in the sea. Another example, today a dinosaur could walk from southernmost South America to northernmost North America, pretty much unhampered. But in that Cretaceous period, those same land masses were boldly divided into three distinct continents over a half dozen huge islands. But then late in the era, those shallow seas dried up, exposing the continents pretty much as they are now. And the dinosaurs, who until then had been naturally segregated by the vast open seas, began migrating across the dry ocean floor, where they met and mingled. Dinosaurs which had never encountered one another before were suddenly breathing on one another, maybe sneezing on one another. In any case, bearing a unique assortment of parasites and disease organisms to which the bearers had long previous developed a resistance or even an immunity. No, the dinosaurs were not annihilated by a Death Star, says Dr. Bakker. They succumbed to an invisible invasion of potentially lethal, hitchhiking microbes. And thus from their fossilized graves to the peripatetic race of humans which has inherited their Earth. What are the dinosaurs whispering? That all glory is fleeting? And that familiarity can breed extinction? Is that the rest of the story?
And you can hear another Paul Harvey episode of The Rest of the Story coming up with Dan Marcus, 12:05 this afternoon here on WRGN. Learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular shows ever to air on WRGN by calling us during business hours at 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. It's 7:31 right now. Let's check news once again. Here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Police changes are coming to a Racine County community. The Waterford Town Board has decided to eliminate its local police department and outsource law enforcement to the Racine County Sheriff's Office. It's a five-year contract. The move follows a year of investigations and staffing shortages in the Waterford Police Department. There's not many answers coming from a Waukegan hospital where a patient was found unresponsive on the roof last week and died. An investigation is underway following the death of 28-year-old Chelsea Adolphus, who was found unresponsive on the roof of Vista Medical Center East in Waukegan Thursday. She checked in with an illness Tuesday. The incident has raised questions about hospital security and patient monitoring. There have been upgrades at the Kenosha course. Now Racine leaders are looking at improvements. The Racine Common Council last week approved an agreement allowing some golf consultants to explore potential upgrades at the Shoup Golf Course. The move grants those companies 6 to 12 months to conduct a review, which could include redesigning the course. And a Kenosha fighter won a title over the weekend. Ben Rothwell claimed the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship World Heavyweight title with a 36-second knockout victory at an event this weekend in Philadelphia. The 43-year-old is a former UFC fighter and is now 4-0 in bare knuckle boxing. Rothwell owns and operates Rothwell MMA in Kenosha. That's a gym operating in a former antique mall along I-94 in Kenosha County. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Markets that look good today may not be there tomorrow. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. All markets are anxious about the Trump administration, potential tariffs, all kinds of disruption that could happen. So how can you protect yourself? Katie Burgess, one of the broker analysts with EverAg, says, take a look at tools that are currently available. One of those, the Dairy Margin Coverage Program. She says it may not seem like a great opportunity, but she said compared to uncertainty, it's solid.
Based on where milk prices are and feed prices, the models are not projecting any payouts for 2025. But that being said, when we look back over history, we take the data for the past 20 years. The program's only 5 or 6 years old, but if we look at the historical price data, it would have paid for itself 18 out of 20, 19 out of 20 years. And so just given there's a lot of 2025 left, I still encourage producers to go talk to their local FSA office about it, probably sign up for as much tier one volume as you can, up to 5 million pounds. Costs 15 cents a hundredweight, which is pretty cheap risk management insurance.
Katie Burgess, one of the dairy broker analysts with EverAg. She reminds dairy producers you've got until the end of March to take a look at the dairy margin coverage option for your farm. By the way, milk production remains flat across the United States. Wisconsin produced 2.69 billion pounds of milk in December, basically unchanged from a year ago, and the 24 major dairy producing states as a group also flat. What's happening with the dairy markets? We'll take a look at that and all the rest of our numbers next.
Pests are trying to turn parts of the corn belt into the corn rootworm belt. But DeKalb brand says, not on our watch. Crush corn rootworm with DeKalb brand SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology. It's the outstanding yield potential of DeKalb corn with advanced protection against corn rootworm. When pest pressure is highest, hit back your hardest. Talk to your DeKalb representative. Never settle. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up seed treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese finished unchanged. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny and a quarter at 183 and a quarter. Double A butter up a penny and three quarters to 253 a pound. Markets are lower as far as the grain trade this morning. I'm PM Yankee.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds and breezy today, maybe an afternoon sprinkle and a high in the mid-40s. Turning partly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-20s, and mostly sunny and still a little breezy tomorrow, high in the low 40s. Staying mild and dry for the rest of the week. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
I used to gamble on the NBA, but the NBA are a bunch of hypocrites. You know what the NBA's motto is for kids? Stay in school. To LeBron James. Hey, LeBron, screw the 90 million. Brush up on your biology. They're hypocrites. If the NBA weren't hypocrites and they really wanted to promote staying in school, at the All-Star game, instead of a slam dunk contest, hold a spelling bee for the player. Be more fun to watch, I guarantee. What'd be more fun to watch, a basketball player dunking again or Stephon Marbury trying to spell receipt? Or Wednesday, or one of those tricky words. I know what you're saying. Art, you're the hypocrite. You can't spell receipt or Wednesday. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not telling kids to stay in school either.
Don Rosen in the morning.
We're talking to the movie mom. Nell Minow from MovieMom.com and RogerEbert.com. We're going over some of the nominations for the Academy Awards. We've got the Razzies to talk about, too. We left off at I'm Still Here. Never heard of that movie.
Well, maybe that's because it's from Brazil, and it only just started coming to theaters. But you might have seen, if you watch the Golden Globes, that the actress, this is such an interesting story, the actress from this movie got the Best Actress Award. And what's interesting about it is that it's only the second time that a Brazilian actress has been nominated for the Globes, and the first one was this lady's mother. So she won the award that her mother was nominated for about 25 years ago, and it's, you know, it is a very good movie, but it is from Brazil, so I don't think that many people are going to see it.
Another movie I never heard of, Nickel Boys.
Well, that one is based on a best-selling and award-winning book, and that in itself was based on a terrible, tragic, true story about, I'm making air quotes here, a reform school for black boy teenagers that was horribly, horrifically abusive. I mean, up to and including murder. And that is a true story, but this is a very unusual film inspired by that story. What makes it unusual is that almost all of the film, I would say 90% of the film, you're seeing through the eyes of the characters. So in other words, normally when you see a movie, it's like looking at a play, and you're sitting there and you're watching the characters walk around and talk to each other. But in this one, you are seeing what the characters, the two main characters, see. And so it's called the subjective camera. That's very unusual, and it really brings you in the story in an unusual way. So I thought that was a very powerful film.
Another film I never heard of, but I had now because Demi Moore won the Golden Globe and she talked about it, The Substance.
Yeah, that is like a crazy horror movie, and it's very unusual to see a horror movie in, you know, getting awards. But that's about a woman played by Demi Moore who loses her job. She's an actress turned fitness instructor on TV, and she loses her job because her boss thinks she's too old. And so she takes a kind of a magic potion that turns her into her younger self. But you know what? things don't go well at all.
Yeah, I got to see. I have to see that.
Careful what you wish for.
I have to see that. The other one is my pick for the best of the year. I love musicals. That's the way I grew up. I grew up watching on going to Broadway musicals. I watch, movie musicals. I love them.
I'm going to a musical this week at the Kennedy Center. Schmigadoon.
Oh, Schmigadoon. Yeah.
Yes. I'm very excited about it.
By the way, I love the original Brigadoon. I watch it all the time.
I love Brigadoon. Oh, it's almost like being in love. Great song.
Oh, Heather of the Hill, all that stuff. Oh, yeah. I love Brigadoon.
Anyway, Come Home to Bonnie Jean. That's a great one.
And the storyline is great. Two guys from New York City wind up stuck in Scotland and go back in time. When you think about the premise, and then it winds up back in Manhattan again, and then they go back to Scotland again.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is, but it's lovely.
We're talking about Wicked now, because this is the one. I had reservations about a movie being broken up into two parts, but I'm fine with it now. This is wonderful, this film.
I loved it. I thought it was absolutely terrific. And you know who knocked me out? Well, I already loved Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo, but Jonathan Bailey, I had not really known about him before, and he's amazing. That one song number that he does in the library.
Yes.
First of all, the sets are so imaginative. The costumes, the hair. It's it is a long movie, but I never looked at my watch, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
What's really interesting on the trailers for it, they never do any of the songs. I mean, they're almost afraid to tell people it's a musical, but they do all the songs. They do great justice to them in the film, and it is just a wonderful movie. And I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but they end the part one at a perfect moment, as they did on the stage. That's where they had the intermission, but they ended perfectly, and the lead actresses are just wonderful. Jeff Goldblum as the wizard. Good. He's good. He's good.
He's good. We'll see more from him in the next.
I know. I always
coming up for Thanksgiving this year.
In my head, I always see Frank Morgan as the wizard, and it's tough to get out of my head. Okay, so those are the top movies. Now, I will tell you, a lot of people never heard of some of these films, but in 2020, I had never heard of this movie before, and I got the DVD, and it's become one of my favorite movies, Nomadland.
Oh, yeah. That is a very powerful film, also inspired by a true story.
Yes, and Frances McDormand was the star. She won the Actress Best Actress Award for that as well. But what a fantastic movie. And my wife and I watched it 3 or 4 times. That's how good it was. We just couldn't get enough of it.
Well, it's a very basic story about human connection and about the struggle between our need to connect to each other, our need to be a part of a community, and our need to have adventures and strike out on our own. And it is a very, very touching story. And it would have been very easy to make that movie about good guys and bad guys, but they don't do that. Everybody has their own story in it.
And it was one of those films, thank goodness I don't live like that. Out of a van with a pot for a toilet. I mean, just...
I wouldn't like that.
But it opened my eyes to what's going on out there in America.
Yeah.
And so that was an excellent movie. All right, let's go through. I'm just going to list the actresses here. You tell me who you think the favorite is. Cynthia Erivo for Wicked. She played the Wicked Witch. And I'm having trouble with some of these names here. Carla Sophia Gascón.
Gascón from Emilio Perez, the first trans woman to be nominated.
Mickey Madison from Honora, Demi Moore for Substance, and Fernanda Torres from I'm Still Here. So what do you think?
Oh, I'm definitely rooting for Cynthia Erivo on this one. She was incredible. In fact, at RogerEbert.com, they ask us each year at the end of the year to pick one performance that we want to write about to highlight as one of the best of the year, and that's what I picked. I picked Cynthia Erivo. I'll send you what I wrote about her. Oh. I thought that was just an extraordinary performance because, you know what? It's a very big movie. It's a big movie with a lot going on. It's loud. I don't mean that in a bad way, but there's just, so much to look at, so much to listen to, and yet she's really the beating heart of the movie. She has her quiet moments. When she says, "I am the commotion," it's just heartbreaking and beautiful, and I loved her performance, so that's my pick.
And she goes from being a sweet, kind person to what they consider the Wicked Witch.
Furious,
And she just makes that transformation. All right, let's go to the Best Actor category. Adrian Brody for The Brutalist, Timothy Chalamet for A Complete Unknown, I got to bring this closer to my eyes here. Coleman Domingo for Sing Sing, Ray Fiennes for Conclave, and Sebastian Stan for The Apprentice. What do you think?
I'm going to go with Adrian Brody in The Brutalist, which, of course, will make it the second time, if he wins, that he gets an Oscar for playing a Holocaust survivor.
Yeah, The Pianist, yeah.
But it is an extremely powerful performance. But all of these guys are great. And if I were going with my heart, I would go with Coleman Domingo for Sing Sing, which is just a beautiful movie based on a true story about a group of men in prison who put on theatrical productions. And do you know that the recidivism rate for the people in that program is under 3%, as opposed to over 60% for people who don't participate in the program? It just gives them a way of telling their stories that is so heartwarming, so touching. It gives them a sense of connection, a sense of community, and they just become different people from it. And Coleman Domingo is phenomenal. Acting mostly, the other actors in the film are mostly actual participants in this program. They're actually formerly incarcerated men. And so he works with them so beautifully. So if it were me, I would go with Coleman Domingo.
And a little side note there. Sing Sing is a real place. It's in Ossining, New York. That's where the word Sing Sing comes from, Ossining. Just north of Manhattan. You get up a little north of Manhattan, New York City, and that's where Ossining, New York is. That's the prison. All right, Best Supporting Actress, we got Monica Barbaro. Am I saying their name? Barbaro?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's for A Complete Unknown. Ariana Grande for Wicked. Felicia Jones for The Brutalist. Isabella Rossellini for Conclave. She's been around a while. And Zoe Saldana for Emilia Perez. I think I know what your pick's going to be. Zoe Saldana?
Yeah, it is definitely Zoe Saldana. And I think she's got a lock on it. She gives this role everything. As I said, she's in the movie more than the person who's nominated for Best Actress. She sings, she dances, she gives a very emotional performance. I would love to see her win.
Okay, let's do Best Supporting Actor. Now, here's a name I can't pronounce. Yura Borisov. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, you got it right. Yura.
For Anora. You've got Kiernan Culkin for A Real Pain. Yes, he is the brother of the Home Alone guy.
Macaulay Culkin, yeah.
Edward Norton, a great performance in A Complete Unknown, playing Pete Seeger, as you mentioned. Guy Pearce, The Brutalist. He's been around for a while. And Jeremy Strong for The Apprentice. What do you think?
You know, this is, I think, the toughest one. All of them are great, but I'm going to go with Kieran Culkin. I love the movie A Real Pain, about two cousins who go on a tour of Holocaust sites in Poland looking for the home that their grandmother grew up in. Jesse Eisenberg, of course, nominated for Best Screenplay as well, and Kieran Culkin is just heartbreaking in that movie, and so I'm going to go with him.
Wait a second. Who'd you say wrote the screenplay?
Jesse Eisenberg.
The actor?
Yeah, he directed it, wrote the screenplay, and stars in it.
The guy from all those teenage movies?
That's the one.
Superbad, that guy? Okay.
No, he's not in Superbad.
Oh, he's not in Superbad, but he's in one of those. He's a few of those type movies that were out there.
Yeah, well, he's in The Squid and the Whale and Adventureland and Zombieland.
Oh, that's right. That's where I saw him. You're right, absolutely. Now, as long as we're talking about these categories here, let's talk about what a lot of people are considered one of the snubs, The Last Stripper, Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, I was sorry not to see her recognized because she does give a beautiful performance. And Jamie Lee Curtis also gives a beautiful performance. The movie was directed by Frances Coppola's daughter, Gia Coppola, and who also wrote the screenplay. And it is Dave Bautista, the wrestler, gives a heartbreaking performance, absolutely wonderful in it. And also Carrie Fisher's daughter, Billie Lord, is in it as well. Of course, the granddaughter of Debbie Reynolds. I would like to have seen her get a nomination, but I think the fact that she's getting so much recognition for her beautiful performance in the film is meaningful. I want to recommend, I know you don't have Netflix, for the people who do have Netflix, one of my favorite films of the year is nominated. It is a short film. It's about 30 minutes long. It's on Netflix. It's a documentary called The Only Girl in the Orchestra. It's about the first woman to be in the New York Philharmonic, picked by Leonard Bernstein. And it is just, it's a ray of sunshine in your life to see this woman and how much music has meant to her over the years, how much she has given to music and to her students. It's just great. The Only Girl in the Orchestra. That's the one I would really recommend to everybody.
You know, my father stood on Leonard Bernstein's toilet bowl. My father worked for a company that repaired pumps, and one of the problems was in the ceiling above Leonard Bernstein's apartment. So Leonard Bernstein sat on the rim of the bathtub while my father was standing on his toilet bowl to try to get to the ceiling. And Leonard Bernstein was sitting there talking to my father for about a half hour while he's sitting on the rim of the bathtub. I said, yeah, that's pretty neat. What a story.
That's extremely neat.
Okay, best director, Sean Baker and Nora. I'm having trouble with some of these names. Brady Corbet.
Corbet, yeah.
Yeah, The Brutalist, James Mangold for A Complete Unknown. Jacques something or other for Emilia Perez. These names are really brutal.
Yeah.
And the person for The Substance, I can't pronounce that name either.
I think Brady Corbet is going to get that one, just because, as I said, it is such a big swing that he made that movie, that incredible movie, for under $10 million. That is phenomenal, and I think he is going to get it, and he may be the youngest person to win the Best Director Award.
Okay, last category. I'm sorry, I cut you off there. What did you say?
I said he's still in his 30s, so he's very young.
So here's the best animated feature category: Flow, Inside Out 2, Memoir of a Snail, Wallace and Gromit, and The Wild Robot.
I think, you know, it could be Flow, which is a movie with no dialogue whatsoever from Latvia. First time Latvia has had an Oscar nominee, but it is a gorgeous film about a group of animals that are trying to get to a safe place. It is absolutely beautiful. I think my pick would probably be Inside Out 2, which made me cry. And, of course, thank you, Pixar. But I also really love The Wild Robot. So these are all good choices. I do want to say that the two stop-motion animation, I love stop-motion animation. They're both great. But I just want to let people know that Memoirs of a Snail is definitely not for kids. We tend to think that all animated films are for kids. This one is not.
You know, and I'm not a big fan of Pixar animation. Because it's going to be hard to describe it to you, but in all the scenes, when the characters are talking, they jut their faces at the screen. They just they put their faces right at the screen, and it annoys the heck out of me. I like that. I don't know why I can't describe. There are people that annoy me in life, too, and I have no reason to have them annoy me, but they do. And that it's just noise. And they have such wide eyes, the characters. Their eyes pop open, and they put their faces right to the screen. They jut their heads out, and it just annoys me. I like the hand-drawn animation. That's just me.
I love hand-drawn. Well, then you will really love Flow, because it is hand-drawn. It's like a beautiful watercolor, and it is just lovely. And I think that just might be the front runner right now.
Now we talk about the dark side of award year. The Razzies, the Raspberry Awards, the dark side of Hollywood. All right, these are the films that people thought really stunk. Actually, I don't know who nominates the Razzies. They stand for Raspberry Awards is what they do. The nominations come out the day before the Oscar noms, and then they give out the Razzies the day before the Academy Awards. And so let's talk about the worst pictures of the year. Borderlands, Joker, Folies à Deux, Madame Web, Megalopolis, and Reagan. I saw Reagan. I didn't think it was that bad. But
I thought it was just, and I worked for Ronald Reagan. I was in the executive office of the president for Ronald Reagan. I thought it was terrible.
Really? Okay.
It was definitely on my worst list.
Joker, Folies à Deux. I can't. How did that do so bad?
You know what? I refused to go because I hated the last Joker movie, and I said I just am not going to give any more of my life to it.
Okay.
So
I know you
absolutely
don't...
terrible.
And
Borderlands, that deserves to win just because of it has the biggest gap between amount of money spent and quality of the final product. They spent a bazillion gazillion dollars on it. And Megalopolis, it's funny because I was joking with one of my critic friends, you should have a double feature of Megalopolis and The Brutalist, because they're basically both the same story. They're both about architects who have kind of megalomaniacal visions of the future. And, you know, in a way, it's kind of like The Fountainhead, both of them, about what happens. Megalopolis was, of course, the passion project from Francis Ford Coppola. He sold his vineyard, his the love of his life, his vineyard, to make to get the money to make it. And it is nutsy. I wouldn't say it's the worst film of the year. I would just say that that there's a reason that you normally have a lot of people working on a movie so that somebody can say, hey, this part isn't working, you know. So he didn't have that. He made exactly the movie that was in his head. Madam Web is just terrible.
Is that a Marvel movie, Madam Web? Is that one of those Marvel films?
Yes, it is. It is. It's as they say, it's from the Spider-Man universe.
Ugh.
And it was very disappointing. But, yeah, I would say I think Borderlands will probably win just because they spent so much money on it. It has an Oscar-winning actress in it, Cate Blanchett, and it's just a mess.
Well, we'll say that nobody sets out to make a bad movie. It just happens.
No.
Yeah. Nobody says,
that's
I'm going to work.
That's one of the reasons that I like being a critic is that you know, everybody wants the movie to work. And when it doesn't work, it's very interesting to think about why. I mean, I saw a movie that's coming out this week that has a lot of my favorite people in it and behind the screen as well. And it's just not good. It's you're cordially invited with Reese Witherspoon and Will Ferrell. It's got a great cast, and it just drags along.
Worst actors, Jack Black, Dear Santa, Zachary Levi for Harold and the Purple Crayon, Joaquin Phoenix for Joker Folie Doux, Dennis Quaid for Reagan, Jerry Seinfeld for Unfrosted. Whoa, I went to school with that guy. He was a nice guy. What happened?
Yeah, well, and he's a funny guy, but this movie was not very good. I don't, you know, nobody would confuse Jerry Seinfeld with an actor, and, you know, he's never really, so I wouldn't qualify him. Jack, like, I just want to say about Dear Santa, let me tell you how dumb this movie is. The movie's whole idea is that a boy with dyslexia, who's very distressed because his parents are getting divorced, misspells Santa on his letter to Santa and writes Dear Satan.
Oh, the premise sounds funny.
Oh, it's just...
It's terrible, huh? Okay.
It's terrible.
All right.
But I would go, with Dennis Quaid as Reagan. He's not good in that.
Worst actress, Cate Blanchett for Borderlands, Lady Gaga for Joker Folie Doux, Bryce Dallas Howard, which is the daughter of Ron Howard, for, is it Argyle?
Argyle. Mm-hmm.
Dakota Johnson for Madam Web and Jennifer Lopez for Atlas.
Okay, I'm going to go on that one. First of all, I want to say I enjoyed Argyle. Until the last 20 minutes or so, I actually thought it was a ton of fun, and then it goes completely crazy. And I thought Bryce Dallas Howard was lovely in it. And Borderlands, it's not Cate Blanchett's fault that it's such a bad movie. And same with Dakota Johnson. She tries her best in Madam Web. So we're going to go with J-Lo on this one. She did not have a good year.
All right, best supporting actor, Jack Black again, this time for Borderlands. He just did some voice work in there. Kevin Hart for Borderlands. Shia LaBeouf in Megalopolis. Is he still around? I can't pronounce his name. Is it Tahar Rahim for Madam Web?
Tahar Rahim.
And John Voight for, get this, Megalopolis, Reagan, Shadowland, and Strangers. Whoa!
Yeah, John Voight is not the problem in Megalopolis and Reagan. And Shia LaBeouf, you know, he takes a lot of heat because he is such he's such a pain. I've talked to a producer who said his one goal in life is never to work with Shia LaBeouf again. But I would say, yeah, go for him with drag in Megalopolis.
Oh, poor John Voight, four movies. Best Supporting Actress, the worst of the year, Ariana DeBose for Argyle.
Yeah, who was an Oscar winner for West Side Story.
And for Argyle and Craven the Hunter, Leslie Ann Down for Reagan. She played Margaret Thatcher in the film. Emma Roberts for Madam Web, Amy Schumer for Unfrosted, and FKA Twigs for The Crow. I never heard of some of these people.
Well, FKA Twigs is a singer, and she's best known for as a singer.
Okay.
And I would say, you know, I feel bad for all these actresses. I think they did their best. Amy Schumer, the funniest thing about Amy Schumer in Unfrosted, which is, I'm not making this up, the story of Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
And Amy Schumer in Unfrosted plays... Marjorie Merriweather Post, who from the Post cereal company, who is an amazing woman and led an amazing life, and it is true, and they say at the end of the movie that this is true, she built Mar-a-Lago, which is the home now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so something we learned from the film. And the worst director of the year, worst director, these are nominees, by the way, S.J. Clarkson for Madam Web, Francis Ford Coppola, Megalopolis, Todd Phillips for Joker Folie Doux, Eli Roth for Borderlands, and Jerry Seinfeld for Unfrosted. Got some big names in there.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I'm sorry, Francis Ford Coppola, but again, the gap between who this man is, what his history is, and what he ended up producing, this is, you know, this is the one that should have been called Folie à Deux, because he just, it was just his, you know, his own mind with nobody interfering, and there are some, there's some great parts in it, there are some great moments and great things to look at in it, but it is just a nutsy, crazy movie.
We got to have you back.
My favorite thing in the movie is that one of the characters' names is Platinum Wow. Oh, no, it's Wow Platinum. I think it's
Wow Platinum. You know, I've got to see some of these. Hopefully, some of them will come to DVD. They still make DVDs, by the way.
They do.
And I hope some of them do come to DVD so I can watch them. We got to have you back after the Academy Awards, because we got to talk about the Razzie winners and the Academy Awards winners and snubs. So we got to talk about that. That'll be in March. I think the Academy Awards are March 2nd, right?
Mm-hmm.
On ABC? Okay. We got to do that. Hold on the line. Don't go anywhere. Nell Minow, just don't leave yet. Nell Minow, the Movie Mom at MovieMom.com, MovieMom.com, and also at RogerEbert.com, RogerEbert.com. And we're going to have this podcast eventually so you can hear the show again in case you want to reminisce about some of the thoughts she had. And you know what's good? Compare this to the actual winners and losers to see how well you do. Because we're gonna put that in stone so people can compare. All right, Nell, hold on the line.